we sexually harass each other.
Welcome to Geeks Without God with Nick Glover, Tim Wick, and Molly Glover.
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks without God.
This week on Geeks Without God, we talk about the movie Inherit the Wind, starring Spencer Tracy, Frederick March, and Gene Kelly.
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God.
This is Geeks Without God. Thanks for joining us. I'm Nick Glover. I'm joined by Molly Glover and Tim Wick, and today we're going to talk about the movie Inherit the Wind.
Inherit the Wind!
Yay, Inherit the Wind.
Which I haven't seen before tonight.
Which you have seen now.
Yeah, I liked it.
We watched the 1960 version.
Right. The 1960 version with Spencer Tracy and Gene Kelly.
Right.
Yeah.
It's, I feel like with movies like that, you have to take in the historical context with them to enjoy them properly. Like, if you're seeing them out of that context, like 52 years later, for example. And with that context, I really like it. I think it was probably, you know, ahead of its time. And it was, I mean, clearly, like, I think what Bill say, it's like a fanfic of the
Bill
original.
Bill Styler, yeah, he says like fanfic of the original Scopes Monkey Trial.
And I totally see that. I'm familiar with the 1925 trial, so like, it does seem like a dramatization, or, you know, it's embellished for entertainment value.
Well, something I had not known until when we were watching it, I was, you know, looking at some Wikipedia stuff, and I hadn't realized that...
Because that's what you do now.
Well, yeah, that's what you do.
You don't just watch a movie.
You're looking
at Wikipedia the whole time.
But anyway, yeah. I was just kind of... Because I was curious, and I didn't realize that the original play was meant as a parable for McCarthyism, which is pretty cool, because it's, you know, similar to The Crucible. I thought that was pretty cool. I had seen it before and was very excited, and then I realized as we're watching it that what I'd seen was the 1988 TV movie with Jason Robards and Kirk Douglas,
which is also very
good. And so I was really, I'm actually really glad that now I've seen this original 1960 version, because it was I love Spencer Tracy and I love Gene Kelly, so
yeah.
And Whatsits did a good job too. The dude who played
good old Whatsits. He's a big name, I'm spacing on it
now.
Everybody loves Gene Kelly.
And the great thing about it is, if you're a fan of Gene Kelly and you haven't seen this movie, it is so different.
Yeah, he doesn't do any Gene Kelly stuff.
Anything else you've seen him do,
other than
it's
be
just amazing.
Handsome and pretty.
And he does have a hat. And at one point, he tips the hat. Yeah. Forward on his head, because that's the standard Gene Kelly move. The tip the straw hat forward to shade your eyes.
Dance the toddler.
Yeah.
It's in everything he does.
It's like his patented ladies I'm open for sex move.
That's what it seems like.
Or guys, maybe.
Porque no los dos.
It could be both. Yeah, it could be both.
Frederick March. Frederick March played Matthew Harrison Brady.
Sure.
So, you know.
But I liked it. Even outside of the historical context, I thought it was good.
Yeah.
I thought it has really, like, clever and, like, witty lines, and that's always something that, I mean, who doesn't love that? Like, a snarky newsman who's always got someone's number and can do, you know, a little bit of doublespeak here and there. Like, it's very entertaining. Mm-hmm.
You're not a huge fan of courtroom dramas generally.
I kind of hate most courtroom dramas.
I love them, but I know you're not. In our marriage, we have these disagreements about whether or not we should watch Law and Order all day.
I don't say yes. I don't like, it's the same police drama and courtroom drama, and I am very, very picky. When I like something, I really love it. Otherwise, I hate it. I can't stand it. Like, I loved Homicide: Life on the Streets. It's fucking awesome. I can't stand Law and Order.
You love The Wire.
I love The Wire. And all the courtroom scenes in The Wire and all the police procedural stuff in The Wire, it's awesome. It's super amazing. It's got, like, a Shakespearean kind of air to it. The way they speak, the way it unfolds. Yeah. And so this falls into the courtroom drama that I like. which mm-hmm. is a rare exception. But I liked it. I don't know if it was the theme or what.
Well, yeah, and I think the theme is kind of important. And actually, it's one of my favorite movies. If you put a gun to my head and say, what are your 10 favorite films?
Really?
Yeah, Inherit the Wind is one of those films. I love Inherit the Wind. I've watched it many, many times. And I think there are a lot of reasons. I watched it first time I watched it. I was very young. And I think for me, it connects with something about my beliefs about evolution and my beliefs about the danger of especially fundamental religion.
Fanaticism in general.
The resistance to the facts. And,
yep.
and watching Inherit the Wind, and even though it is fictionalized, it is something that I think is very real, in that the people depicted in this film are literally violently opposed to the idea that evolution could be real. There's a scene in the film where they're talking about hanging the guy for teaching evolution.
Talking about it. They're singing it while parading through the streets.
While burning him in effigy.
It's not like a conversation they're having in private, like, oh, we should hang that guy. Well, I agree. It's proud and loud.
In that crowd, a bottle is thrown from the crowd and it hits him in the face in his jail cell.
He's
physically accosted while in custody.
Yeah, so the way that the fanatics respond to the idea of evolution, which to me, you know, I've often talked about this. I don't think I've talked about it on the podcast, but the first time somebody explained the basics of evolution to me, mm-hmm. I was like, yes, that makes perfect sense. There was never a moment where I questioned it. There was never a moment where I was like, wait, that doesn't jive with what I've been learning in church. It was the immediate response of looking at everything on earth and going, well, yeah, I can't see how that could have happened any other way.
Right.
And so when I'm watching this movie and going, there are people that don't think that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It does seem kind of absurd. One of the parts I really liked was after he gets told that all his as experts that have driven all the way to be there to testify.
Scientists,
geologists, zoologists have been told that they can't testify. Mm-hmm. And so he puts the prosecutor on as a witness and begins to just the slightest bit of doubt in anything, any of the literal translation of the Bible, like to believe in what the Bible literally says,
because mm-hmm. he gets him to say, "You believe in a literal interpretation of the Bible as written." He's like, "I certainly do."
It's the word of God.
And then he starts going through and saying, "All right, so you believe that this literally took place?"
Yeah,
and it starts with absurd magic stuff like Jonah and the whale, or you know, things like that. Mm-hmm. But then also where it starts to fall apart is when he's saying, like, well, if God didn't create the sun until the fourth day, how do you know what a day was on that first day? Was it 24 hours? Was it 25 hours?
How can you measure an hour without the sun?
Could it have been 30 hours? And he's like, well, sure, it could have been 30 hours. It's not important. And it's like, aha, you are interpreting now what that book says. Mm-hmm. And I don't know.
If it could be an indeterminate amount of time, it could be 10 million years. Right. It could be, and that's the modernist take on evolution, which I'm an atheist. I don't agree with this, but the way that I know a lot of Christians that I know, because I don't know any creationists. I don't know anybody that admits it to me. So like they're all modernists. They believe in this whole like, well, then God created the Big Bang. God created the amoebas. Well,
most Christians that I know would say that the creation myth in Genesis is that it's a myth.
Right.
It's a story. It's not meant
parable.
It's not meant to be taken literally. It's meant to just be the way that people at the time that wrote the Bible interpreted. Well, this is how the earth was created.
Yeah. I feel like the most literally it's ever taken by those, you know, rational Christians is to say that, you know, like that first day could have been any amount of time. That doesn't disprove, you know, that the age of the earth as what scientists, and that's what he was getting at.
My grandfather is a Lutheran minister, and we've had conversations about, you know, what you believe, what you don't believe, that sort of thing. He's a very peaceful, kind of hippie Jimmy Carter, Fred Rogers kind of guy.
Yes, he does remind you of a lot of Jimmy Carter.
Yeah. He's a cool guy. And he says, well, you know, what's a day to God? Who could say? Mm-hmm. And that could, you know, that could be the millions and billions of years that's transpired since, you know, the universe was created. That could just be a day to God. Who's to say? To even speculate what a day is to God, we couldn't begin to understand God as that unfathomable to us. Mm-hmm. Which, I can dig that. Obviously, I don't believe in it. But when someone gets religious to a point where they're like, it's a fucking mystery that we may never understand, I literally don't know, I have faith, I think I have more respect for that than someone like in the Scopes trial where they're like, no, it is this, we do know.
This is exactly what
right.
the Bible says, and we right. must believe exactly yeah. right. what the Bible says.
Yeah.
That kind of response to it, given the contradictions that are inherent in the Bible, given mm-hmm. given everything that is unclear in the Bible, that frightens me.
Yeah.
And so absolutely. this movie impacted me pretty strongly in going, there really are people that look at
yeah.
evolution and say, well, it doesn't jive with the Bible, and therefore it must not be true. And then they spend the rest of their life trying to justify it in some way. Mm-hmm. Forcing it to fit, yeah.
yeah.
What gets me about the Scopes trial and therefore Inherit the Wind is just this idea of passing a law that makes it illegal to teach something. And that is something that I am fundamentally opposed to. I guess... And that's hard because I don't think that creationism or intelligent design should be offered as a viable solution or a viable alternative in public schools. I don't.
Because it's not comparable.
Because it's not comparable.
Well, there's no exactly. scientific basis.
Exactly.
You can't teach it in a science classroom right. because you need to actually have some scientific evidence.
If there's an optional religion class
sure.
in public school, optional.
Theological study.
Optional, right. yep, that's
as long
fine.
As long as it's not just Christianity, as long as it's an overview.
Even
of
if it is,
yeah.
as long as it's optional. And
yeah.
you're opting in, you're choosing to take that elective.
Yeah.
I have
sure.
no problem with that because
absolutely.
I'm about knowledge and learning. I'm not ever going to mm-hmm. say it should be illegal to teach somebody something because I think knowledge is power.
Well, okay, so you, right,
yeah.
you feel that things shouldn't be banned to be taught then.
Banning teaching is bad, yeah.
Banning teaching is bad. So the you know, the naysayer
mm-hmm. yeah, no,
argument
please.
Against
yeah,
that
do
would
it.
Be, well, you know, atheists want to ban teaching Christianity in school. Or they want to ban the Bible. They want to ban prayer.
And I feel like I don't want to ban it.
I know that's bullshit.
I want to ban the mandatory infliction of it upon everybody. That's what I want to ban.
Right.
I have no problem with, honest to God, I have no problem with a public school wanting to offer Christianity or religion or any of it as an elective class to kids. I mean, honestly.
Studying it, not...
As long as it's presented objectively. I have a real problem
sure.
with it being presented as truth.
Or like an after-school program, like a
after
prayer club
program,
or something like that.
What, I'm okay with that, but the thing is...
Because you elect to do those.
Elect, that's the biggest
well,
thing.
Well, you guys, we gotta do something. We gotta talk about the Good News Club when you're talking about
yeah.
after-school program.
I should point out that in case people that aren't familiar, like Nick and I don't have kids and are not planning to ever have children, and Nick and Tim, you have
I
kids.
I have two
so
children.
I really do
yeah.
think that... I have that's gonna that would change my opinion that maybe
yeah.
if I had kids
no,
I might care more about what's going on in a public school in that sense.
Yeah,
also you went to private school.
I did go to private school, not
yeah.
a religious private school, a non-denominational.
So you know the after-school programs, I have an issue with it if it's run by a church, which
mm-hmm.
is frequently. And the Good News Club is one of these really insidious groups, and I can't really describe it here. We should talk about it on a different podcast because
yeah.
I don't have it up in front of me, so I'm not going to be able to do it justice.
Just a brief overview.
But it's a group that comes into schools
mm-hmm.
as an after-school program and manages, and I don't remember how, so I apologize,
yeah, yeah.
manages to squeeze in around, sort of squeeze around the rules against religious organizations
yeah.
being
it's like when they bring the purity
school.
Ring things in.
Oh,
when
sure.
they have the purity ring assemblies and it's
yeah.
all, they say it's
yeah.
about abstinence education, but it's about Jesus. So.
Well, that's a problem in Australia.
Oh, yeah.
Schools are required to provide a counselor for kids.
Again,
yeah.
counselor
and,
slash
yep.
psychological counselor.
Yep, and just as a resource for children. And because of like budget shortfalls and monetary issues, they are prone to taking volunteers.
Sure.
The volunteers that they've been getting have been, by and large, religious. Mm-hmm. And they've been proselytizing.
Yeah. Right.
David Thorne has a great... David Thorne, a comedian, has a fantastic bit, and we'll link to it in the show notes, on 27B/6. And it's fantastic. It's about, basically, his kid, because he's in Australia and used to live there, and his son coming home talking about all this religious stuff he was getting talked to by his counselor, and David Thorne's an atheist. And so he was like, he starts, and mostly his stuff is like communications and letters. It's funny letters. So
It's absurd. It's very funny. It's jackassery. Yeah.
But that was the problem. It's cynical, but he's very serious funny. About this problem. No, he's like, I don't want you to teach. I mean, you're having an Easter celebration, and the permission slip you sent home for me to sign has Jesus on the cross and Easter bunny and eggs. How is this a celebration for all faiths?
Yeah.
It's got Jesus on the cross.
So, I mean, ultimately, I do have a problem with religion in schools.
Like, at all?
Well, this is a weird thing that not a lot of people know, but there was a time when I actually thought about going to college and getting my PhD and becoming a professor in religion.
Sure.
Because it really fascinates me. Religion interests me. I may not believe, but it fascinates me. My life took a different path, and that's all cool. But
not seminary, but theology.
Well, I mean, like, literally all religions, I didn't want to be a Christian scholar. I wanted to study religion and teach religion as an objective course, not as a subjective course. And that's the problem that I see is that when you offer a religion course in a school, I really feel like, especially in a public school, it has to be presented from an objective perspective. If you're going to present a Christian class, it can't be presented as fact, because you don't have anything to back it up.
Right.
It's not the same as American history, where there is interpretation, obviously.
Sure.
Anybody can put their spin on American history, but American history did happen. We have pictures. We have books. We have photographs.
If you look at the difference between like a usual American history text or book in schools, where it is kind of a history as written by the victors type point of view.
Yeah.
Sure.
And compared to something like Howard Zinn, A People's History of the United States, it's more objective. It talks about a lot of terrible things that the United States did in becoming the country.
Not
that
a
two it is
paragraph
today.
About the Trail of Tears, but like an entire like chapter of the
So there are definitely not just teachers or professors that can try to be objective, but also it's the source material, and there might not always be that as a resource to teach that class objectively.
Right.
Both the teacher and the source material.
Yeah. You make a good point, and I feel like the only way, now that I think about it more, I think if they were going to offer like religious elective classes, I'm changing my original statement. I don't know, really, because I'm thinking about it more, and I think that the person teaching it, if they don't, they either have to have no religion or literally have no investment in religion at all. Because if you are a religious person or even a spiritual person by any means, you are going to be unable to be objective when it comes to talking about other stuff.
I think you're right. I mean, my religion professor in college, he was Jewish, and he clearly had his own biases based on his religion. That, I mean, he talked about and he acknowledged, but there's no way you can get away from it. You know, if I taught religion, I would not be able to get away from the fact that I'm an atheist. And how do I fairly present the beliefs of Christians objectively without sounding like I really, really, I have huge contempt for it, because by and large I do.
But if it's all equally bullshit to you, is that objective?
Yeah. But I was thinking
it might be as objective as you can be.
Sure.
Well, if it was framed in the sense of being like a mythology class.
Sure.
And so it was like, here's what the Greeks believed, the Egyptians believed, and like religion, like a history of world religion, but then you're gonna get, you know, and this is why I decided not to be a teacher. I dropped out of my master's program because public school just sounds like a bureaucratic nightmare to me. Because then you've got parents that are like, you're telling these kids that Christianity is on a par with Greek myths. And I'd be like, well, it is. I mean,
they'd freak out and claim persecution, and
I'd probably get fired. And so and that was a big reason why I was like, I mean, like Nick said, I went to private school my entire life, college and everything. I went to the same school from second grade to senior year, and I wouldn't even know how to begin to deal with kids in a public school setting, in a general public school.
Well, if you were teaching, so let's say you're teaching history or ancient history. When you're studying Egypt, you talk about mummification, you talk about the religious rites, you talk about the slaves, you talk about pharaohs as incarnations of sun gods.
Yeah.
And all the mythology that comes with that. Religion has a part in history and anthropology.
Right.
Because it's a part of cultures. First, far back as there have been people, there's been mythology or religion. And so, like, they're inseparable in that point, in that way. And in that way, you can be objective about them. I feel. I don't know.
Yeah. And getting back to, you know, we're talking about religion in schools, but I think as we talk about this nuance, I mean, I think that's why where you get back to the Scopes Monkey Trial and Inherit the Wind is the idea that teaching evolution in schools, which is still very much under attack.
It is.
Very much
it's
under
insane.
Attack.
It's insane. It's been almost 100 years.
I know. The original Scopes Monkey Trial was 1925, so...
Which, I just want to say, Monkey Trial bugs the shit out of me.
Yeah, well, that was the... That's the
I know. I just...
It.
Monkey Trial...
It's actually called the Monkey Trial of the Infidel Scopes.
Oh, wow. Well, yeah. There you go. Yeah.
Bugs the shit out of me.
But now we call it the Scopes Monkey Trial because that's shorter.
Right.
It's apes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Motherfuckers.
I mean,
yeah.
Go ahead.
To finish my point, and then I will concede the floor. the thing is that evolution, there's scientific evidence, you know, so it shouldn't be a question of whether or not it should be taught with, quote, alternate theories.
Right.
There are no alternate theories.
Right.
There are alternate explanations for facts that are not in evidence.
Yeah.
But the only thing that is scientifically supported is evolution. So what we're seeing instead is either this idea that we should be able to teach all theories or basically say, don't teach the kids anything.
Just leave it
all out of the school. And either answer is bullshit in my mind.
If you were going to teach about 9/11, which I'm sure they are at this point in schools.
I bet they are.
And would you say, and as you know, requested by some Americans, we have decided to present you with the alternate version of events.
The truther events.
Would you say, like, there are some people, we should point out, there's a significant number of Americans who believe that none of this actually, you know, or the moon landing. There's Americans who believe this.
For that matter, why don't you say, well, and because, you know, we're going over 9/11, we have to say that, you know, there are a lot of people in the world that believe that America provoked these Muslims,
and that America deserved
this. It had it coming.
You would never.
It was
do
a
that.
Justified attack
yes.
from a. From
yeah,
a
it would never happen. But with evolution, they want that to happen. I mean,
it's the same thing.
If I was a biology teacher, I'd probably sit there and go through the. Now there are some people who feel that there are some flaws in this theory, and then tick off each one of the flaws that people feel there are, and say, well, this is false.
Yeah.
People say that you know, there are no transitional fossils, and that's wrong.
And this is why.
And people say there's a problem with the dating techniques, and that's wrong, and here's why.
Yep.
And people and just go through all that to say, all right, there is incontrovertible evidence.
Yeah.
Every bit of evidence that we have found supports the theory of evolution.
And that's
everything.
Science.
Yeah.
And that's science.
Yeah.
The first thing I'd start with is, let's get down the difference between the standard definition of theory that we all understand and the definition of scientific theory. And when a scientist talks about a theory, what are they saying compared to when you and I are talking about a theory? And understanding that words have different definitions and you need to understand the different meanings and not assign your meaning.
Right. There's not my facts and your facts.
Yeah.
There's facts and opinions.
Right. I feel another part of Inherit the Wind that I want to talk about that I thought was interesting was from a First Amendment freedom of speech perspective, banning people from talking or educating about things.
Sure.
I mean, it definitely has constitutional law.
Oh, that's absolutely.
You know, it relates to that most certainly. That's super interesting to me. I think that's cool. Banning a topic in school, is essentially like banning a teacher from talking about something or from teaching something.
But we ban a teacher from talking about creationism, but that
is a separate
constitutional issue because of separation of church and state.
Right.
It's a public school. You can't bring church into this
because you're giving validation to one religion over another.
Exactly.
And that's
preferential.
The problem. Yep, exactly.
It's state endorsed.
It's not about taking away rights. It's about protecting the rights of the non-vocal
yes.
people that are not. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's because it's where would we go from
yeah.
there? I mean,
the state can't endorse yeah. a religion.
And the interesting thing about the original Monkey Trial is that it was Clarence Darrow, the lawyer, was trying mm-hmm. to do the whole thing from a First Amendment perspective, saying basically this law is unconstitutional. His goal yeah. was to bring it to the Supreme Court
because it was a state trial.
Yeah, and get it struck down. And what happened, of course, they lost. Because really, there was no contention that he didn't break the law.
Yeah.
Right.
Even though originally Darrow was trying to actually convince them that the law, that evolution was not necessarily separate from biblical teachings,
right.
and therefore,
they're going with a modernist approach.
Well, that's with a jury trial. Jurors don't have to vote whether or not the person broke the law. The juror can have a moral objection to the law. And say that what they thought happened, or what the person is accused of, isn't wrong. Therefore, they are not guilty. They don't have to.
At
which point you're going to get an appeal and all that.
In murder trials, especially, it can be like there's no question as to whether or not you know this person murdered the victim. The question is, was it wrong? And that's where you get into those kinds of situations.
Sure, which is why typically in a murder trial they have several different counts.
Yep.
You know, so that if they can't get the person on premeditated murder, maybe they can get him on
manslaughter
or whatever.
And I really, from a legal standpoint, I think that Clarence Darrow's mistake.
I think
a big part of it was to not. If he had in the court case originally tried to refute that he hadn't, that not to say that he hadn't broken the law, but to maybe not make it so much about the law being wrong, that seems like more of an appellate court type argument.
Well,
and to just wait, knowing you're gonna get convicted, and then you take it to the appeal.
Yeah,
you know?
And what he was trying to do was establish sort of his argument for the appeal. That's actually what he was doing, was
setting it up,
setting up the argument in the original trial for the appeal.
So.
It went to the appeal, but the trick is that the Tennessee Supreme Court overturned the verdict. But they overturned it on a technicality. They refused to rule on the constitutionality of the law, which meant that he was frustrated. He was thwarted because he couldn't get
the law itself
up to the United States Supreme Court to actually challenge the law.
That was one of the reasons that Scopes went to trial. He provoked them into trying him.
Yep,
he had students testify to.
No, it's fine. I was just pulling it up to talk about. Okay. But because what was happening was the ACLU had said anyone who gets accused of teaching evolution or arrested for it, we'll defend you. And the superintendent of the school, the Dayton school that he was at, was saying, we could actually get some attention in this school because they were like-minded people. I mean, the movie makes it seem like he was the only person in the
whole
town.
It does, and that's done for dramatic reasons.
And for the parable about McCarthyism.
Well, and it makes sense.
Yeah,
but in
reality, there were a few people that were like, this is an attack on intellectualism. Like, we're all teachers. We need to fight against this.
Yeah.
And he was only 24, but he just started, like, outwardly teaching it and... Like Nick
and
was
then
saying,
encouraged
provoking.
His students to actually testify against him.
Yeah, three of them.
Can you imagine? I mean, you went to public school. Did you go to public school?
Yep.
Okay, you guys went to public school. Nick especially. Like, can you think of anything that came even close, like a teacher being renegade like that in your school?
I had some pretty cool teachers.
I had cool teachers, but in high school, in the time that I was in high school, there wasn't anything really to be renegade about. Not in that way.
I had pro marijuana legalization teachers in my high school that burned marijuana scented incense in the teacher's lounge behind the microwave so that the teacher's lounge reeked of pot.
Interesting.
Yeah.
But they probably didn't bring that into the classroom, did they?
His opinion?
Yeah.
Most certainly.
Oh, he did?
Yeah, yeah.
All right.
What did he teach?
Social studies, civics.
All right. Sure. Well, if he teaches civics, then he has the opportunity
to bring
some of that in.
Right, for sure, for sure. I don't know. You had a non-inherit the wind thing. You wanted...
No, not for this podcast.
Oh.
But we will have since these are out of order, we will have already talked about this.
Oh,
there you go, inside baseball, everybody!
Yeah.
Oh my god!
Oh my
it's
god!
So crazy.
You revealed our
fucking
secrets.
Fucking with the space-time continuum.
It's all wibbly wobbly.
I was actually about to say it's about time to wrap it up.
Fantastic!
I'm really glad that we got you to watch the movie.
Yeah,
Inherit the Wind is one of my
like
favorite
movies. A milestone, an important thing to check off the list.
For sure. If honestly, like, if you are an atheist, agnostics, you know, like-minded person, you know, like, and you haven't seen Inherit the Wind, I really recommend seeing it. If you just don't, if the idea of watching a movie from 1960 that's in black and white makes you just want to, like, go die.
So then you're wrong.
No.
You're wrong.
You're not wrong. Your opinion is valid, and I feel for you. But I'm just saying, go watch the 1988 version with Kirk Douglas and Jason Robards. if you really don't want to watch the 1960 version, you should see the movie in some form.
Seriously, if you miss out on Spencer Tracy, I'm just saying.
It's not Hepburn Tracy.
One thing that we were talking about is, since at this point all of our guests we've given our five questions to, and all us at this point, us three have all answered, given our answers for the five questions.
It's true.
Yeah. What are we gonna do?
What are we gonna do?
I don't know, you guys.
We were talking about maybe having listeners email in their answers to the five questions.
Oh my god, that's brilliant!
Every week we don't have a guest, we'll pick someone and read their answers and kind of discuss what we like or think is particularly neat about that.
That's a good idea, Nick.
So if you have your answers to our five questions, you can email them to Tim, Nick, or Molly at geekswithoutgod.com.
Should we tell them what the five questions are?
Let's go over
question number one is, what's the best movie that you have seen in the last 30 days? It can be either video or in the theater.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And question number two is, who's your favorite atheist character?
Yes, favorite atheist character. Okay. Technically, that's fictional, but we've accepted real people.
Yeah.
That's true.
We'll take your, show your work.
Yeah.
the third is that the hobby or?
That's the hobby, yeah.
Geekiest hobby or extracurricular
activity of some sort.
Yeah.
And then the fourth one is, what's your favorite sandwich?
Mm-hmm.
And go into details.
Yeah, we want to know. Don't just tell us Ruben. No, give us.
Who's Ruben?
Fill it in. Yeah. Fill it in. Let us know. We want to know.
And then the last one.
Oh, what's the dumbest or maybe most insulting question or statement you've had about your atheism, agnosticism, or skepticism? If there's anything particularly dumb you've heard or are sick of hearing, what is that? What's that logical fallacy? We want to
really dig into those logical fallacies.
Yeah.
And send those into us. We'll have fun with them.
Yes, indeed.
And you'll be quasi internet famous because we'll talk about you on our podcast.
It's true.
Oh my god.
Send
my
dad.
They talked about us on Geeks Without God. Geeks Without God answered my questions.
Armageddon, we're Christians.
Oh no.
Atheism, we're favorite thing.
Oh boy.
We're trying to be funny right at the end because this whole podcast is really fucking serious.
It was a more serious one.
Alright.
Dicks. Farts. There we go. I brought it back. I think
let's wrap it up.
All right. Thanks for joining us, Geeks Without God. Again, I'm Nick with Tim and Molly. You can, like I mentioned earlier, our email, Tim, Nick, or Molly at geekswithoutgod.com. You can like us on Facebook.
Yeah.
And we're done. We'll catch you later.
I didn't come from no monkey.
Authority, we don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks, geeks without God.
Until next time, you can find us blogging and listen to past podcasts at geekswithoutgod.com. And you can follow us on Twitter at geekswithoutgod.
We're geeks,
we're geeks, we're geeks without God.
We're geeks,
we're geeks, we're geeks without God.
We're geeks, geeks without God.
Armageddon!
Armageddon!